gave you my heart, and I tried to make you happy, and you gave me nothing in return. You know it ain't so hard to say, but would you please just go
to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning. Text line, get in touch with the program, 251-343-0106. April Marie Fogle coming up in the 10 o'clock hour and 11 o'clock hour, the official Democrat response on the Jeff Poor Show, former Congressman Parker Griffin. Joining us now, he's candidate for United States Senate. Always a pleasure to talk to him. Jared Hudson joins us on the line. Jared, how are you?
What's up, big hero? I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing well, doing well. Thanks for coming on. I always appreciate your time. We'll kick it off here. How's the campaign going?
Man, it's going great. God has blessed us tremendously, you know, moving all over the state, meeting people, really growing, really surging, and God has just granted us a lot of success for me to just be a regular guy from North Jefferson.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. You're out there a lot. We see you a lot out there. But I want to talk a little policy this morning, and we'll kick it off with this. And we're watching Iran. I don't really like to lean on your expertise here. We keep hearing, a number of Marines headed that way. It's things you wouldn't necessarily associate with the current strategy, a lot of airstrikes. When you hear these reports, what do you think, in what capacity some of these, things that other than air assets being moved over there are going to play in what Donald Trump's trying to do there?
Well, personally, I think the first thing that the Trump administration is trying to do is it's that whole peace through strength process, right? So we've knocked out their ability to keep us out of the air, right? We're still flying over. Now, they're still launching missiles, and I know there's been a lot more missile launches than us and most of our allies expected, but that's what happens when you're fighting a decentralized, enemy, which is the IRGC, right? We're not fighting the Persian people. We're fighting the IRGC. And so when they're decentralized in nature, it does become a little bit more difficult to knock them out. With that being said, you've got roughly 20,000 Marines, I think, last I heard, headed over that way. You're already standing by in that area. We've got a big contingent of conventional and special operations forces within the area already with our Arab partners, and then all the way up into our European partners that could deploy at the snap of a finger. I think more of it is that peace through strength, where you've got the president with his hand out, you got the Trump administration, America with their hand out saying, hey, here it is. We want to make a deal with you. We don't want to continue to do this. But they got the fist balled up in the background and they're ready to hit somebody. And that's one of the biggest things with peace through strength. It's not just telling everybody you're going to hit them. Sometimes it's actually hitting them. And I think a little bit of it is prepared to show, hey, we're ready to do this. If y'all are going to keep playing games. And I think that's, it's like this morning, they knocked out another leader, and I've been hearing that they're wanting to come to the table with peace talks. But again, decentralized command, you get something else put out on the wire. Oh, no, we're not discussing peace. Well, you're talking, this guy that's putting this out is not the guy who's actually running the show for the IRGC. I think that's what you see going on right now.
Well, when you hear these discussions about peace talks or truce or whatever it may be, like, this is what, how do we know who we're dealing with? It has to be someone with some kind of sway over the military, right? I would think, right?
Well, again, when we think of it, when you say military, you're thinking conventional. It's not so much conventional in nature. There's all of these little segments broken off in a decentralized command, and they can continue to fight and wreak havoc and create issues and burdens for us and our partners in that area. And that's what we're trying to effectively deal with right now, not destroy the Persian people, not destroy their infrastructure, not destroy the ability for things to pass through the straits, but control that area so you don't have nefarious actors like the Ayatollah, who he dusted, that's been doing this for years, and like all of the other leadership, to include recent leadership this morning that we killed, making sure that they don't stand up in place and stand the same regime or even a more nefarious regime back up. It's making sure that you're dealing with the right people and you're killing the right people. And that's really what's going on right now. And part of it is showing, hey, we can drop the hammer. We can continue to drop the hammer, but we don't want to. I think that's what you see taking place right now.
But you, what it looks like to me is, you know, but you're still on the table. You're not going to take it off the table. You're not going to give it a, you know, with the fear out there, that gives you some leverage going forward.
Well, say that again.
You're not going to take off to hit some of the infrastructure, as you were saying. You're not going, you don't want.
That's right.
It's not, you know, ideally you wouldn't have to go in that way, but if you had to take out part of the power grid or do something like that, it's there, but we're trying to avoid it, and you need to come play ball with us.
100%. It's just like the, you know, they have, you know, water issues over there. And so you've got where they desalinate the water. They've got the plants. And that was one of the infrastructure targets that was looking at being hit. And the Trump administration said, we're not going to do that. But this is a chip that's on the table. But we're not going to do that because it impacts more than just the enemies we're fighting. It also impacts the populace that we want to you know, hopefully take over and have a good working relationship with the United States. The other side of it, and this is getting a little more into the weeds, but with Iran, you had the Belt Road Initiative. You had the ability for China to receive stuff through Iran, through their partnership that we have now basically cut off, right? And if we continue to cut this off and build a partner out of Iran, this is going to impact China and Russia. So it's more than just Iran. It's more than just fighting their terrorist proxies like Hezbollah, Hamas, the Houthis, you know, even Al-Qaeda and Taliban that they were funding during GWAT where I fought. But it's more than just that. It's going after our enemies like China and Russia, even in an economic fashion, and going all the way back to, you know, the issues in Russia with Ukraine. You look at all the LNG gas or all the LNG exports that Russia had to pull. I mean, the whole region was reset over the last couple of years with Russia and Ukraine with energy dependence and where you get that from. And right now we're staging the U.S. in a strategic position to not just be energy independent, but for the rest of the world to be energy dependent on us.
Well, that's like maybe the unstated focus of Trump foreign policy. And even in this hemisphere with Venezuela, with what you saw with the Panama Canal very, very early on, I think to some degree maybe even Cuba comes into play. But it gets to China and keeping them from being the, you know, getting a foothold in some of these adversarial places that don't have the best relationship with the United States.
No, that's exactly right. You know what I mean? You've got Iran for sure, you know, that has been doing this. You've got China. They've been operating outside of the U.S. dollar. We have the inability to deal with anything, energy related with them. And, you know, data centers are something we talk about all over the state of Alabama. Well, China has a lot of data centers. And guess what? If they don't have energy to keep those things running, keep them cooled and keep them running, it negatively impacts what they're trying to do. So all of these things are stacking up in our favor. And I think that's what you see the Trump administration doing, is trying to make an ally out of the Persian people and not make an enemy out of them, but destroy the IRGC, who's been running roughshod over the Persian people for the last 50 years, for longer than I've been alive.
Yeah, and then, I mean, that just, you know, all the way back to the Iran hostage crisis, and it all kind of started there. But the China thing is kind of fascinating to me because you think we started out with tariffs, and that was sort of a direct approach. But it's like death by a thousand cuts, and you got to wonder at some point, does China really, really start to feel this domestically?
Well, I think they probably already are, but on the other side, you talked about the tariffs. Look at all the production that's coming back just for our state, the state of Alabama, right? You had the Old Republic Steel Mill up in Etowah County, where I had a great granddaddy, a granddaddy and uncles that all worked there, and then it shut down in the late 90s, early 2000s. And that really hurt that area of Etowah County. That hurt that area of Gadsden economically. Well, guess what? It just reopened into a car parts manufacturing hub to produce car parts that were being made in Taiwan, is what I was told. So either way, we have production coming back here. You've got the 2.5 million square foot facility up in Muscle Shoals, right north of where I live. And it just got is getting revitalized so that we can build those subpods there, right? So you've got national security, a national security nexus, developing stuff for our government, for our Navy, for our allies. We're building it right here in the state of Alabama. And that used to build railway carts. And guess what? All those jobs around the same time went to Mexico. So with that being said, you're starting to see production come back to the United States of America. So we're not reliant on everybody else in the world to produce things for us. We're not reliant on everybody else in the world for energy. We're starting to produce and export. And that's what makes the United States of America great. That's what makes the state of Alabama great, is the ability to produce and export. And I think that's what the Trump administration is doing. And I think you can start, you can see a lot of that even in these moves. The last thing I'll leave you with, I don't believe the administration is pushing for boots on the ground. Everybody talks about boots on the ground, just because if and when they do that, the initiative might be lost. And so that is something I think they're very careful with. And they have to be very careful with, because the American people, after 20 years of GWAT and where we are economically right now, even with diesel fuel at $6 a gallon, you know, we just don't have the palate for that with all that we have going on around us. So I don't think that you see them getting ready to do that. I do think you see them flexing a little bit to hopefully get somebody to the table and make a deal.
Joined by Jared Hudson, candidate for United States Senate, for just a few more minutes here. DHS shutdown real quick, you know, and the, we see what's happening at the airports with the TSA, you know, but I got to think, if we're deeming these agencies, some of these agencies, you know, not as non-essential, if, you know, basically, then here we are in this semi-hot war with Iran, and we don't have a fully functioning security infrastructure. I mean, we should get the government back open. But what does that tell us? How vulnerable do you think we are?
Well, so, I mean, right, let's just look at it at face value. One, I think it opens up the door to at least start talking about the privatization of the TSA, right? That would help out to some extent, possibly a lot of military bases were privatized. I'm not saying that I'm fully on board with that, but I would say it at least opens the door to look at that. On the other side of it, you got Senator Britt, you know, Katie's been negotiating with Democrats on a regular basis, trying to make a deal, and then what do? It's like Charlie Brown when they pull the football away, right? Like, she's moving down the road, hey, we're going to make a deal so we can get this thing reopened, and then all of a sudden they take their ball and they go home. So those are the things you see going on right now. But the bottom line is Democrats are holding paychecks hostage, and it's for the people that are securing our nation. And they're doing it in a way where it's symbolism without substance. They're claiming, hey, we've shut down ICE funding. Well, guess what? I'm telling you, as a task force officer of Homeland Security, my ID says ICE, right? It's like, this is what we do. Funded until 2028, all the way through 2028, ICE is funded. So they're not even doing what they're saying they're doing. It's sort of like some ridiculous ideological line they're standing on. And what they are doing is they're keeping our Coast Guard, who are currently deployed. We have Coast Guard members deployed in the middle of this conflict in Iran, the Bahrain, the UAE, that are not getting paychecks. And we have our TSA that's not getting paychecks, which are backing lines up, especially with the upcoming holidays. You got Easter coming up, and it's negatively impacting our ability to transit the United States of America. And it's putting Americans at risk because we're not able to secure our airports in the way we were supposed to. Oh, and by the way, last thing I'll leave you with, in their ability to get ICE agents and HSI out of the communities of people, they just put them in the airports. That's how dumb they are. They literally just got HSI to move to airports. The last thing I'll leave you with, Senator Mark Wayne Mullen, you know, he just got the job as a secretary of Homeland Security. I love Mark Wayne, had the privilege and honor of being endorsed by him, and he is a good dude, and I know that we're excited on the HSI side to have a real pipe hitter in that position.
Hey, real quick before we let you go, Club for Growth getting in the fray here, coming off the top rope against one of your opponents, Steve Marshall. Any reaction to that?
I mean, I think the biggest thing is when you have these interstate PACs get involved in our elections, do you think that the people are going to have sway, or do you think these PACs that make it, you know, backroom deals with with politicians are going to be the ones who have influence over what they do. My question is more so what kind of deals have been made for those guys to get involved in an Alabama Republican primary. And the last thing I'll leave you with for me, that's why, you know, every dollar we've taken is from an individual, with the exception of SEAL PAC, just because I'm a United States Navy SEAL, and they're like, hey, we want to make sure that we get SEALs elected.
Hey, folks want to find out more about your campaign and want to get involved or whatever they need to find out, where can they look?
HuntingForAlabama.com. Like, follow, share. You know, definitely keep up with us on social media. We're killing on social media. We would love to see you there. And if there's any events that we're going to be at, y'all come out, meet us. We'd love to shake your hand and hear your issues firsthand.
All right, Jared, we appreciate it. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks, bro.
All right. Quick, 251-343-0106. You want to be in touch with the program. So to come, we got in about 40-50 minutes or so. We'll talk to April Marie Fogle at 11 o'clock hour. Official Democrat response, Parker Griffin. Once again, 251-343-0106. That's the text line. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Why can't you see what you're doing?